To the Word of God now, and we are going to continue the series that we've been looking at on responsibilities within the church, but we're also going to consider the promises that we have made and that the family have just made. If there are children who want to leave now, perhaps they could do that for their creche, but we are going to be coming to this passage of Scripture that we have just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we have come to that point in our responsibilities as church members to consider the responsibility of sharing in the life, work, and witness of the local church. As we deal with that, I want us to think also of the promise that we as parents have made, Nikolai and Daniela, but we as church members, as we have promised that we would pray for them and that we would help them in the bringing up of this little one. In our church handbook, alongside this responsibility, are two wonderful passages of Scripture. Romans 1, verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And the second one is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Wonderful verses of Scripture, but in a way they don't give us any practical application or guidance as to how we as a church share in life, work, and witness. But that last verse from 1 Corinthians 15 is in fact the climax of the letter that I read the first part of. Paul begins there in chapter 1, and he deals with issues in the church, and he deals with the blessings of the church, but also with the problems that the church is facing. And I want us to go back to that chapter, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and to consider the implications of this responsibility. We need to ask a few questions. What is the local church? What is the life of the local church? What is the work of the local church? How does the local church witness? How do we share in all of that? And to do that, or to answer those questions, I want us to look in particular at verses 26 through to 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's 1147, page 1147 in your Bibles. And Paul there spells out what he sees as the church and how God has brought the church together. So, what is the local church was the first question, or we could ask it another way. How do we become members of the local church? Well, Paul begins by answering that in verse 26. He says, "Consider your calling." Verse 27, he says, "But God chose what is foolish in the world." And there are two, in a way, frightening statements there. We so often think, well, I joined the church. I took the step to say that I want to be a part of this church. Often when people give their testimony of becoming Christians, they say, "I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ." Or they might say, "I confessed my sins." But all the time it is, I. But that isn't what Paul says in this passage, is it? It isn't what the Holy Spirit says to us. Paul is saying, the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning, that we are members of the church because God called us, because God chose us. That word calling would fit into the legal language of our country. You know, if somebody is asked to appear in court, they are given a summons, aren't they? And that's the power of this word. God has summoned us to come to him. God has called us to himself. But this word chose. It means that God is the one who said, I am going to draw you to myself. I am going to lead you to faith. So the facts are, friends, that no person is a genuine member of the church because of their own initiative. No, they are members of the church because it is the work of God. God chose them. And when we look at what Paul goes on and says in verse 27, it's a little bit deflating. Look what he says. But God chose what is foolish in the world. God chose what is weak in the world. Verse 28, God chose what is low and despised in the world. Not exactly complimentary terms, are they? But it puts us where we rightly belong. These words don't stroke the human ego. They don't say, well, I chose you because you are wonderful. No, God says, I chose you because you have got nothing to offer me. Now, there may be people here this morning, and you struggle with self-esteem. Who am I? What am I? And you think, how do I deal with self-esteem? Well, verses like this deal with self-esteem completely. God says to us, we've got no self-esteem. We've got nothing that we can actually give to God. Because anything that we are is what God has given to us. In the Thanksgiving service this morning, we gave thanks for the life that was given. None of us can say, we are going to have a baby at such and such a time. We may have that hope, we may have that desire, but no, life is given by God. And it is exactly the same in the spiritual realm. Paul says to us, God chose us because we were nothing and we had nothing to offer to him. But as Paul develops his argument in this letter, he brings out a glorious truth. He actually says it doesn't matter where you are in society. You may feel as though you have done everything wrong. You have ruined your own life. You have got no hope of pulling yourself up from where you are. Paul said, these are the people that God chose. These are the people that God summons to be in his presence. It might be that you think, it's a bit tough. You mean to say that I've got nothing that I can offer to God? You mean to say that I can claim no credit of my own? That is exactly right. But you might say, Bernard, Paul must have got it wrong. Well, if Paul got it wrong, so did the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was often criticized. And I'll give you an example from Luke's Gospel. The Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are weak. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ said that. He isn't looking for good, healthy people. He isn't looking for people who have got their act together. He is looking for people who have fallen short of the glory of God. On another occasion, Jesus was criticized because he received and ate with sinners. Friends, that is what the local church is. The local church is a group of people that God has called together because they have got no hope without him. There's no class barrier in that local church. It doesn't matter into what family you were born. God is willing to call us. There is no joining fee. So nobody is ever too poor to join the church. You're not expected to have a certain level of income so that you can contribute to the church and make sure that the work continues. We will deal with Christian giving later in this series, but that is not a requirement of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing in my hands I bring, we have just sung. And it was for that reason that we sang that hymn. We come to God with nothing. You might even despise yourself this morning and say, what a mess I have made of life. I feel sorry for you. But to a certain extent, I empathize with you. Because I look back and I think, why did I make that mistake? Why did I go that way? But even if you despise yourself this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's an old saying, isn't there, that we can choose our friends, but we can't choose our family. That is exactly applicable in the church as well. Because not one of us has chosen to come to faith. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save his people, and God calls to himself those that he has chosen. God has chosen every member of not only the local church, but of the church universal. God brought the Cosmer family together, and he has brought us into the family of the local church here at Emmanuel. Friends, you might choose the local church that you want to go to, but it is God who makes you a member of the church. So, what is the local church? It is a group of people that God has called, that God has chosen, that Christ has saved. So what is the life of the local church? Why do we exist? Do we exist simply for Sunday morning services? Do we simply exist for going through the motions? Sunday morning, Sunday evening, they are important meetings because we meet together to worship the one true living God, the greatest activity that we can ever take part in. But that can so easily fall into an empty ritual. So what is the work of the local church? I was discussing this with a group of students recently, and we were talking about the changes that being a Christian produces in our lives. And one student says, well, really, as we become Christians, as we grow as Christians, we adopt middle-class values and we, as it were, move up the social strata. Friends, that is one of the most difficult problems in the church in the UK today. People look at things on a social class level. Many Christians expect, or many people expect Christians to dress in a certain way, to speak in a certain way, to live at a certain standard. It's right that Christians speak graciously. Scripture teaches us to do that. But Scripture also says to us, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Some of the people who came to Jesus, they were horribly damaged by sin. The Lord had an effect on them. But friends, changing our clothes, changing the way we live or the place that we live does not change the heart. And sadly, many people think, well, I live at this level. I give so much money to charity. I go to church regularly. And they seem to think that that makes them a Christian. But no, friends, that does not make us Christians. We are not living as a part of the church. Those of us who were here on Wednesday evening for the prayer meeting will have been thrilled as we heard Eric McGowan speak about his work in Southeast Asia and dealing with prisoners and the work that goes on there. Those people have none of the social niceties of life, and yet they are on fire for God. They love the Lord. They love His Word. So, what is the life of the local church? What are we a part of? How do we demonstrate that we are part of the church? Well, we've spoken about the calling in verse 26, and Paul says, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. He says you're not cultured or sophisticated. Remember, Corinth was a center of world trade, and it was a part of the Greek world, so it would have been sophisticated in its learning and its knowledge. You would have had extremes of life. But, friends, when we come to the church, we can forget our human wisdom and our human learning. It doesn't even register with God. Paul says that many of you were powerful. And again, Corinth would have been a powerful place. People would have had authority. And there were leading characters of the city who were members of the church. But friends, our power, our authority means nothing in the context of the church. And you read the scriptures, and God often called farm workers, shepherds, carpenters. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ were a cross-section of human society. Not many were of noble birth. And we have two expressions in English, don't we? People who were born on the wrong side of the tracks, or people who were born with a silver spoon in their mouths. It doesn't matter whether you were born on the wrong side of the track or whether you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. When you come to Christ, you come as you are, with nothing to offer. And you contribute to the life of the church. The life of the church is a total cross-section of society, being brought together by God and being given a new identity in Him. It doesn't matter what you were before you became Christ, before you became a Christian. What is important is that you are in Christ. Every child joins a natural family, as Hadassah has this morning, except in the cases of adoption. But they begin at exactly the same place, don't they? New and helpless. Hadassah, although she has got the full potential of being a human being, at this stage she is a growing human being, and she will grow as her family help her, as she knows the help and the grace of God. We, as Christians, will only grow as we accept the help that comes as part of being in the church and the help that comes from our Heavenly Father. The individual Christian who thinks that they can go it alone has misunderstood the fact that God puts the solitary in families, both physically and spiritually. So, what is the local church? Those that God has called. What is the life of the local church? The life is what God takes us from and gives us. What is the work of the local church? Well, Paul writes, to shame the wise and the strong, to bring to nothing things that are. The work of the church is to, in effect, cut down self-righteous, self-sufficient people. And this may seem pretty negative, but let me illustrate this. Again, using the illustration of a child. You have a child, and that child is allergic to nuts, to peanuts, if the child has the slightest taste of a peanut, her eyes will swell, her throat will constrict, she will start losing her breath, and maybe within seconds could suffocate and die. If you say to that child, now there you are, dear, you go off to school, there's a bag of peanuts in your pocket, don't worry about them, just leave them there, they won't do you any harm. Do you think that's wise? It's ridiculous, isn't it? I remember speaking to someone on the mission field, and this person was saying that they had considered missionary service, but they couldn't go because his wife had a peanut allergy. And they said it is so sensitive that if she actually has food that has been cooked in a pan that once held peanuts, it could affect her. And in order to preserve life, they had to keep as great a distance as they possibly could from peanuts and from anything that would cause danger to life. And it is exactly the same when God says that he brings to nothing. Friends, the wisdom of this world will never save us. Physical strength will never save us. Human resources will never save us. The only thing that will save us is the grace and the mercy and the wisdom of God. A growing child will explore. Once a child starts moving around, they'll pick things up and they'll go straight to their mouth, won't they? Why? Because the mouth is the place where a child knows sensation and pleasure. But we as parents will watch the child and we'll say, no, that is not good to eat. And we will restrict them. And the work of the local church is to tell society that living without God, living with human initiative, will never save us. And we cannot find God in and of ourselves. In verse 29, Paul writes, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Friends, we can give God nothing. We can never save ourselves. And there are times when we have to say to people, no, that is not good. That is not beneficial. And we have to deal with situations in order that people realize their limitations before God. The work of the church is to point people to Christ from start to finish. Friends, we are saved by grace. We are kept by grace. Sorry, could I ask you to perhaps take the children to the creche or to hold them, please? But how does the local church witness? Well, it comes naturally. Again, going back to Hadassah, as long as Hadassah is fed, she will grow. And she will be recognized as part of the Cosma family. Every time I look at her, I can see the family likeness. And there are things that we cannot change with our children. The family likeness is there. The physical features will mark them out. We will look at them and we will say, yes, that is a Cosma. Or yes, that is a funnel. It's there. We cannot escape it. But as Hadassah grows, as each of our children grow, so we will see more of mum or more of dad in them. Their mannerisms and their habits, they won't come instinctively. They will be learnt by imitation and by example. And it's exactly the same in the Christian life. There are things that we will inherit because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what verse 30 says. And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Did you think it was a little hard when I was saying earlier that God gets rid of all human wisdom? God cuts us down to size. Why? Because he doesn't want us to live on second best. Every person that comes to God, he says, I am going to put the Holy Spirit within you. In fact, we cannot come to God without the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the youngest Christian has the wisdom of God, because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us wisdom. We come to God thinking that we can give him all of our good things, but we can't, and we don't need it. Why? Because he's given us the righteousness of Christ. Christ has kept the law, and God sees us in Christ. God gives us Christ's sanctification and the holiness that he wants to produce in us. It's a process. It's a growth. But friends, it will happen. We will be changed from one degree of glory into another. And he gives us redemption. Freedom. Freedom from the worry of, will I ever be good enough for God? Friends, God doesn't see you when you come to faith. God sees Christ. God takes you in your slavery, and Christ liberates you. He sets you free. He redeems you. And that is what becomes evident as a person becomes a Christian, as they join in the work and life of the local church. People see, hey, he used to do this, but now he's like this. She used to be like that, but look at him now. What's happened? She hasn't completed some theological course. No, she has come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we witness? We witness by growing in Christ. Paul, with all his understanding of the Christian life, was able to say at the end of this letter, but whatever gain I had, I counted. Sorry, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And when he wrote to the Philippians, he said this, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Friends, this morning, the local church witnesses because of its relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had tried to be holy, but when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew that he was given a holiness. What about you this morning? Are you trapped in habits, hurts, and hang-ups? Are you struggling with things from the past? Paul is able to say, I struggled with those things, but I now have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives and works within God's people to make them what he wants them to be. When you say, Bernard, I've been a Christian for a number of years, and I feel as though I've gone backwards. Well, what you need to do is to go again to the Lord Jesus Christ. See what he did for you on the cross. Ask him to forgive you afresh. And plead that the Holy Spirit would make it obvious in your life that God is at work in you. At this stage, Hadassah will enjoy being part of her family. She will be given food when she is hungry. She will be cleaned up when she needs to be cleaned up. But as she grows, as she is strengthened, so she will take her place within the family. And I have to admit, I am very encouraged by this family. I visited them on one occasion, and to see the way the children work together and take their role in the family, it's commendable. And it's a great example, in a way, of what the church should be. Without any orders from Mum or Dad, when Linda and I were visiting, the children came together, jobs had to be done, and they did them. And it's exactly how we should be within the church, taking our responsibilities and growing up in Him. Friends, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour have a huge privilege in the church. Let us rejoice and grow together. Those of you who are outside of the church, have you ever considered your need of Christ? Have you ever considered that Christ calls you and is leading you to Himself? Won't you too respond and trust Him? Have you considered your place in the life and witness of this church, that we might all live to the glory and praise of our God? Amen.